Our scripture for this morning is from the fifth chapter of Matthew, Matthew 5, 1 through 12. And you will recognize this very easily. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And may the Lord add his blessing to our reading of his word and of our hearing of it. Well, it's that time again, and you know what I'm talking about because we've all said it several times over the last several days. It's a new year. We've all said that. We've said it several ways. Well, New Year's Eve, the day and the night before the ball dropped in Times Square. We're all watching it on our TV in Bosquedale, just like we were there. It's New Year's Day, the start of a new decade, the 2020s. And then, of course, what I've said that we've all said several times over the past few days, I think we've all said this and mumbled it or maybe even said it out loud. New Year's resolutions. We're going to make some. We're going to keep them. Oh, we often make fun of New Year's resolutions. You know, how many days before I'm going to break them? Well, why make them if I'm going to break them anyhow? Well, really, New Year's resolutions are actually a good idea. You take a little time to think about some changes, some goals that you really think would be good for you to do in the days and the weeks ahead. So, you know, we're already a few days, several days beyond the first day of 2020, but this is the first Sunday, the first Lord's Day. And I think it's a great day to consider a New Year's resolution that all would like to make, all would like to keep for 2020. So how about this for that one? This year, I'm going to be happy every day of the year. Think about that. Is that good for you? Anybody here that doesn't want that? Well, I think this is a resolution that everyone would love to make and keep. So let's agree to it together. Let's do it. Well, yeah, Pastor, that sounds great, but every day? Isn't that sort of impossible? You know, every day this coming year, be happy every day? No, absolutely not impossible. Not impossible for you for every day of 2020. So listen up. Listen very carefully. Everybody here hearing me right now? This is very possible for you, for any and every one of you. And it's not because I'm telling you that. God has told you that you can be happy. And how you can be happy every day in all the situations of life. Well, it actually wasn't God the Father who told you this. It was God the Son. Jesus told us to be happy and how to do it. So let's start here. Name 8 things that would make you happy. If God said to you, choose 8 things that you feel would make your new year a happy one, and I will give them to you, what would you choose? Well, okay, just a couple of minutes ago, we read our scripture for this morning, so I think you know where I'm going. Would one of those happy things of the 8 that you choose be poor in spirit? Yes, I just read that to you in what we call the Beatitudes. So I guess you're starting to realize that I'm about to suggest that the first of the Beatitudes, you are blessed and happy when you are poor in spirit, is the first of many things in life that will give you happiness every day, because it's a promise from Jesus. And I say blessed and happy together because the word translated blessed, or blessed as we often say it, blessed, is also correctly translated happy. To be blessed is to be happy. So think on this for a moment, since I've suggested that maybe God would ask you to choose 8 things. Would you choose such things as mourning, or meekness, or hunger and thirst, or experiencing persecution? Do you think these things would make you happy? Well, go back and add poor in spirit to being merciful, to being pure in heart, to being a peacemaker, those 4. Now add those to those other 4, mourning and meekness and hunger and thirst after righteousness, and experience persecution, and now you have the 8 Beatitudes. And Jesus said, happy are you when these things occur. Jesus actually told us, he tells you, that these are the things in life that bring happiness. Now, before you think, you just start thinking that maybe Jesus might be wrong. In case this might be wrong, I want you to consider the exact opposite of these qualities. Opposite characteristics such as pride, pleasure-seeking, aggressiveness, compromising yourself, impurity, cruelty, hatred. You couldn't be happy with any or all of those bad characteristics, could you? Of course not. Therefore, consider, please, the 8 Beatitudes as 8 steps to your everyday happiness. And I'll tell you right here at the start of the new year, at the start of the Sundays, of the start of January Sundays and February Sundays, I plan to go through all 8 of those ways to happiness and blessing, 1 each Sunday, and bring to light for all of us how those things can make us happy. Well, here's the first one. Humility, being poor in spirit, humility brings happiness. In Matthew, the 5th chapter, the 3rd verse, when Jesus spoke of being poor in spirit, he was referring to our humble recognition of both our spiritual neediness and the means that can supply that spiritual need. Do you have spiritual neediness? Do you need somebody to supply your spiritual needs? It's poverty of spirit, which any of us is going to have when we consider all of what God is always going to result in discovery and recognition of God's sovereignty over all, over us. People who are poor in spirit don't boast of their own achievements or talents, because when they just think about God, They know they have nothing that has not been given to them from God. And everyone who comes to that simple but very profound realization just says, "Thank you, God. I am so happy that you have given me that ability. It's because of you. It's because of you." Okay, Jesus, God, did say it. So let's see why humility is a way, a sure way to happiness. Well, first of all, humility enables you to be honest about yourself. When Jesus spoke of being poor in spirit, he didn't imply that being wealthy is wrong. You see, you have to read the whole phrase, not just happy are the poor. Jesus did, and you have to add in spirit, poor in spirit. So money or wealth was not rejected by Jesus. Wealth, you see, can be handled in a Christian manner or in a non-Christian manner. Success and prosperity in a non-Christian manner can lead a person to be self-satisfied and proud of himself. Not good, not good, not appreciating your Creator, not appreciating your Sustainer. Yet poverty, being poor, is not the answer, because poverty can drive a person to all sorts of dishonesty. So we're clear on that, right? Jesus didn't teach that the poor, those with no money, are actually spiritually superior. That's not what he's saying. Scripture tells us it's not money that is bad, but rather it is, 1 Timothy 6:10, the love of money that is the root of all evil. Jesus declared, if you want to be happy, you must be aware of your spiritual poverty. You got to be aware of it. You know, it's truly a pathetic picture when you see a person who has a great spiritual need and doesn't know it, not aware of it. I don't know, do you remember reading in the book of Judges of when Samson was in the valley of Sorek with Delilah? He'd just done what he decided to do, not what God had told him not to do, and was now surrounded by the Philistines. And Judges 16:10 tells us, Samson said, very self-sufficiently, now listen, hear this, this is Samson speaking, I will go out as at other times and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. When he shook himself free before, it was because he was following what the Lord had told him to do. Now, he cut his hair, and God told him not to do that. He had gone from being poor in spirit. He'd stepped over the line from humbly doing God's will to not recognizing doing God's will, to proudly doing his own will. I can do this. I will go out as at other times and shake myself free. And when they beat him up and they put out his eyes and they put him in chains, he was no longer happy. Poverty in spirit that we're talking about here from the third verse is the beginning of happiness. I'm pretty sure that's why Jesus began with this on his list of 8 ways to happiness, those Beatitudes. It is the realization of who you are in God's eyes, and the admission that in the whole scheme of things, life here on earth and then life for eternity, that you're really nothing without Christ and without the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. The realization, this admission, is always, always followed by the Lord flooding your life with the riches of His mercy and grace. To be poor in spirit is to be honest about yourself, and this is the way to happiness. This is the first way. Humility urges, no, it doesn't urge, it compels you to be, to commit your full potential to God. Here, God, you take over. William Barclay, a good commentator, concluded that blessed is the are the poor in spirit means blessed are those who have realized their own helplessness and who have placed their complete trust in the Lord. That's what it means. After you've done this, you'll become detached from things and attached to God. You'll commit your full potential to God's will. There's a little boy who came to hear Jesus teach on the hillside. And it gives us a very simple and neat picture of this kind of commitment. He took all the food he had and he turned it over to Jesus. Look that up in John 6:9. You see, once you're willing to do this, turn it all over to God, you'll be amazed at what Christ can do with what you have to offer. You see, at that time, Andrew asked, we're also very tempted to ask, you know, these five small loaves and two small fish, how far will they go among so many? I don't see it. In his own hands, the boy's lunch was hardly enough. Maybe it was just enough to satisfy that one lad's hunger. But in the hands of Jesus, that small meal became enough to feed more than 5,000 men and also women and children, far more than the 5,000 we ever refer to. So never underestimate what God can do with your small stuff, like five loaves and two fish. The moment that you commit it all to that, all that you have to Christ, the impossible begins to happen. The kind of poverty that produces happiness is poverty of spirit, humility of self, to present yourself, to present all of you, to commit everything to Almighty God. And then there's a third thing. Humility prepares you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. No proud soul can be filled with or controlled by the Holy Spirit, because a life filled with pride has no room for the Spirit. Those who are unwilling to be controlled by the Holy Spirit are instead controlled by selfish, self-centered ambitions. The Apostle John recorded in his gospel in the 14th and 15th chapters the instruction and the promise of Jesus of the coming of the Holy Spirit to continue his work, Jesus' work, among those who were then and were later to become disciples of Christ, of the risen and ascended Jesus. He said specifically in 14:26 and then in 16:13 that the Spirit will come to teach and to guide the followers of Christ, his disciples. That's you. And that should make you happy. Just think about what's possible for you when you are poor in spirit enough to let the Spirit guide your life. What you learn, what you're guided to do, is not that you're doing it so well. It is because you are humbly allowing God's Spirit to be your guide, not yourself. Therefore, the Lord said that we must become like little children before we enter the kingdom of heaven. And you'll find that in Matthew 19. You find it in Mark 10. You find it in Luke 18. We are to be like little children. And children, well, most of them, depend on their parents. Children spend very little time worrying about what they're going to eat, what they're going to wear, where they will sleep. They simply and very correctly assume that their needs are going to be met by their parents. And as God's children, we then are to be dependent on Him. Jesus spoke of our humble dependence on God rather than on ourselves. Later in that same Sermon on the Mount, begun with these Beatitudes, Jesus couched the concept of being humble or poor in spirit before God as the opposite of that, as worrying about yourself. Matthew 6, verses 24 and 25 and 26, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" This kind of reminds me of the pastor's column in this month's Bosque Del Bulletin. I don't really have to tell you about that because all of you read it, I know. Yep, the January issue. My reference to Bobby McFerrin's hit song, "Don't Worry, Be Happy." I'd sing it for you, but Bobby does it a whole lot better. He says, "Don't worry, be happy." You know, I think he must have been reading the Sermon on the Mount. I'm glad he did. Our Heavenly Father is responsible for our care. We don't need to worry. We can just be happy. We're told to cast our cares on Him because He cares for us. And Jesus also said to His disciples, He said, "Which of you fathers, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone instead? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" You see, the poor in spirit are those who, in all humility, know they are poor in spirit. And they know and they want and need the Holy Spirit, the blessing Jesus told us the Father will abundantly give to those who ask. They know they can do, can be, nothing in the grand scheme of things, in earthly life here or looking forward to a heavenly home, apart from asking and accepting the indwelling Spirit of God. Humility that enables you to be honest with yourself, that obliges you to commit your full potential to God, that prepares you to be filled with the Holy Spirit, is the way to a life of true happiness. A happy new year? That's to look forward to a really happy new year of humbly realizing yourself as poor in spirit, living your surrendered life before God, and for your graciousness, for your gracious God.